Lori, how are you?
Good. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Appreciate your time. I saw a story online, and it was very troubling. I didn't know it was such a big deal, but apparently it is. Tell us about, before we get to that, tell us about the Women's Foundation program and what you do.
Well, here at the Michigan Women's Foundation, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary. We are a statewide public charity that focuses on empowering and helping women and girls across the state. And one of the issues that we've been working on for about 2.5 years now is sex trafficking of children in Michigan.
Tell us about this story and how serious it is.
Well, a lot of people, we find, think that human trafficking is an international issue. It's something that happens over there, not here. And the reality is that it happens everywhere, including in the state of Michigan. It is estimated that 27 million people are enslaved globally. However, specifically in Michigan, we were ranked 13th by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children for sex trafficking of children in the state of Michigan. We also, because we are a border state and we are so close to Toledo, which is a major hub of trafficking goods that includes weapons, drugs, people, and even exotic animals. And we have vast open space and a lot of lack of information, therefore people don't know to look out for this issue.
Okay, how does this work? I didn't know Toledo was a hub for this kind of activity.
And so Toledo is a hub because what you have is you have some major highway intersections coming together. A lot of truck routes pass through there, and that's what makes it easy to transfer goods pretty quickly and easily. So it's a big kind of center for transferring.
Okay, in Michigan, how many people are we talking?
Well, we are doing research to try to get a better estimate on that. It is not easy because this is something that is significantly not funded. It is something that we are kind of playing catch-up on in the sense that both our federal government, our state government, advocates, service providers are just coming to realize how prevalent this is and that it does happen in the United States. So our best understanding is that we are 13th out of all the states in the country, and then also we have different research that's been looking at internet databases where girls and boys, but mostly girls, have been posted for sex, and they're finding several ads, as much as 160 ads posted online on sites like Backpage in the state of Michigan offering sex services for girls in a month.
So these people are enslaved. How does that work?
Yes. So basically, there's different ways that this happens. Now, some people are brought to the United States. It's estimated 14 to 17,000 people are brought to the United States for trafficking each year, which is just a piece of the puzzle. We have many, many more, and I believe it's 8 out of 10 are American-born women, children, and men who are brought for labor and sex trafficking. Women and children are often sex trafficked, and especially children are being exploited for sex. So they are in the United States. They're born here or brought here. They may be brought from other states to Michigan. There was just a case in Grand Rapids where a man had brought two girls from Florida and was selling them for sex on the west side of the state. We also just recently had our first human trafficking conviction in the state where a man by the name, his street name was Gruesome, and he was just prosecuted for running a sex trafficking ring. He had two girls in his ring. One was 14, one was 15, and they did give comments towards, you know, their experience with him, and he would beat them, have sex with them, and force them to sell themselves for sex. So what you have is you have some people who are doing it because they have a debt bondage, which means that they have been told that they need to work off a debt from their trafficker. Some children we even know are trafficked by their own families. And so I work with a survivor whose mother and stepfather would sell her to family members, church members, other members in the community to pay for food, housing, and even drugs. And so it's kind of a diverse problem where it's not a cookie cutter, this is exactly what happens. It can be a very strong organized crime, or it can be something small and simple, and it can be a parent or a family member or somebody else in the community who have taken advantage of a girl or a boy who is vulnerable and helped to exploit them.
When we talk about law enforcement, is this a federal, state, local level people who investigate this and prosecute it?
Yes, it's all of the above. And so the federal government kind of took the lead on it. In 2000, they passed legislation federally that focused on trafficking in the country. A lot of the language in the legislation was around international trafficking, and they created special visa programs for people who are trafficked into the United States. However, they are reauthorizing that bill this year, and they are working to make it more more supportive to the needs of domestic trafficking situations. Now, in the state of Michigan, we recently, about a year and a half ago, passed human trafficking legislation, which created increased penalties for traffickers. Now, this is a good thing because we needed increased penalties, and like I said, we just had our first human trafficking conviction in the state through the Attorney General's office. Now, the kind of downside to the legislation is there's not a lot of talk about the victim. And so to kind of paint a picture, if you, let's say you are a 15-year-old girl, and let me remind you, the average age of entry for children is 12. So that's young. Those are young, young kids who are being sex trafficked. But let's say you're a 15-year-old girl. You've been trafficked by what we often refer to as pimps. You've been trafficked by a pimp for, let's say, 2 years. Your pimp may or may not get caught, but a good chance is that the girl will get caught for soliciting prostitution. And she's going to end up in the juvenile justice system because that's what our laws do right now. So what we want is we want some safe harbor legislation in the state of Michigan. Illinois has a pretty good example of safe harbor legislation where it would treat the girls as though they are victims, not criminals. It would help to have resources for them, get them out of juvenile justice, but allow them to have some strong care of both mental health and physical health and help heal them from what they've been through.
Where are we with that legislation?
Well, the Attorney General's office does have legislation that has been proposed by the Human Trafficking Law Clinic, which is based out of U of M. And Bridget Carr is the head there, and it is the only human trafficking law clinic in the world. Now, what's interesting about this is the Attorney General does have this legislation. However, the Attorney General is focused on prosecuting traffickers. And, you know, how our government works, the Attorney General is not necessarily going to propose and pass legislation. We need our legislator to do that. And so we are working to kind of create a movement of public, you know, push and advocacy that will allow us to not only get this legislation proposed in our legislature, because it has not been proposed as of yet, but to also get it passed.
Are the kids that are taken away, are these people, are they just taken? Are they runaways, a combination?
It's kind of a combination. So most often you're looking at vulnerable children. So these are children who are coming from possibly not a safe home, or they're often referred to as throwaways, which I think is terrible. But they are vulnerable children. They are runaways. They are coming from a place that is not safe. However, we have a lot of survivors that we work with that wasn't their story. We know of a survivor who was trafficked out of Birmingham, Michigan, when she was 15. She lived at home. She attended school regularly, but every night she went to another house in the neighborhood and was forced to have sex with men in a basement in that neighborhood. Her parents had no idea, and she believed that if she said anything, the people who were trafficking her would walk into the house and start killing her family. So you're dealing with a lot of fear, a lot of control, and a lot of abuse. So eventually, I mean, think about a teenager or even younger, a middle school age kid, and how vulnerable they can be. And so it can be diverse.
And so the people who are seeking this to go online and find a way to have contact?
Yes. So the internet has made this extremely easy. There are websites such as Backpage. Also, there's a website called Erotic Massage Parlor, and it allows you to specify what you're looking for and what kind of services you're looking for. Now, traffickers are not completely, you know, stupid. They are well organized and intelligent, and they're entrepreneurs and businessmen or women. And they, you know, won't necessarily say the girl is 12. They'll say fresh, young, brat, barely legal, new, and that are kind of some industry code words that will allow you to know that the chances you're getting somebody pretty young. And so the internet is just made this very, very easy, and it allows for the men to not have to go find the girls, but the girls can come to them. And there also is, you know, street activity that has always existed, and there is a lot of escort services where men will call in, request, you know, a service, and the person providing that service will come to them.
Lori Kitchen is the Michigan Women's Foundation Program and Advocacy Manager. If people want to know more about this and how they can help Lori, where do they go?
They can go to our website, which is www.miwf.org. And on our website, they can also get information to contact me directly.
Thanks, Lori. It's tough to talk about, but I know it needs to be discussed.
Thank you so much.